going to be chatting in just a moment with three people who had a very rare and quite a privileged opportunity, actually, to perform at the iconic Carnegie Hall in New York. It was an amazing opportunity, and they wanted to come along and share something of the experience. They are from the Billericay Choral Society, and to get just a little bit of a flavour about what they were doing in New York, it was a Requiem by Howard Goodall, the prolific composer of all sorts of films and TV themes and various other things. He was there as well. The Requiem is called Eternal Light, and from it, this is Emily Cook singing, along with John Gibbs on the piano, and this is Lacrimosa.
Do not stand at my grave and weep, I am not there, I do not sleep, I am.
Absolutely beautiful. That was Lacrimosa, sung there by Emily Cook with John Gibbs on the piano, from Howard Goodall's Requiem, Eternal Light. Now, the 19th century Scottish-born industrialist Andrew Carnegie was at one time believed to be the richest man in the world. And nearly 100 years after his death, he is still a household name. Not so much for his part in helping build the US economy or for his philanthropy, but rather for the iconic New York concert halls that bear his name. A group of choristers from Billericay have just got back from the trip of a lifetime when they got to perform their Goodall's Requiem. And to find out about it, I'm joined by three of them now: Rachel O'Hara, Gaitha Washington, and David Bateman from Billericay Choral Society. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you so much for coming in and risking my germs as well. I've been in a bad way, but I'm soldiering on this morning. Great to meet you. Following your trip, you only got back this week, didn't you?
That's right, yes.
Now, a few weeks ago, I chatted with David Worsfold, who's the chair of the annual Brentwood Choirs Festival, which brings together choirs from across the area to perform with a professional orchestra, soloists, and so on. And it was through the festival that this opportunity came about for you. Is that right, Gaitha?
Yes, that's correct. In November last year, we performed at Brentwood Cathedral. We performed The Eternal Light by Howard Goodall, which we loved. And we had a very successful and very moving performance.
And The
there.
Eternal Light is the Requiem from which we just heard.
Yes, it is,
piece.
Which is a modern Requiem that was written by Howard Goodall, who I think a lot of people have heard of. Following this, in about February, the Brentwood Choirs Festival received an invitation from an organisation in New York called Distinguished Choirs International New York, who put on large international performances, getting together choirs from around the world. And we were asked if we would be interested. The three choirs, big choral societies locally, were offered the opportunity. And our conductor at Billericay, David Todd, took up the invitation. He presented it to the choir, and we said, yes, we thought we sounded like the sound of that. So we duly presented a couple of audition tapes, which were sent to New York, and we were selected to take part. Following this, we decided who would like to go. Obviously, it was something we paid for ourselves, and attached to the trip to New York, obviously, was an opportunity for sightseeing and enjoying ourselves. And in the end, nine of us from Billericay went to New York, accompanied by five members from the other choral societies of Ingatestone and Brentwood. So 14 of us intrepid souls crossed the Atlantic just over 2 weeks ago.
How did you decide who was going to go? Was there a limit on the number of places?
No, because we were paying for ourselves, we chose, it was self-selected. People who had the opportunity, the time and wherewithal to be able to do it. So obviously it was just a personal decision in the end.
And David, Howard Goodall was there himself.
Yes, Howard was there, present at the rehearsals and at the concert, adding his voice to actually how to prepare the work, and more importantly, what the work actually meant and how to translate the work itself into the performance. And I think particularly poignant this year with the Battle of the Somme, that some of the movements actually refer very directly to the First War, and actually how he himself decided that that performance should be translated into the modern Requiem, hence The Eternal Light, and that's really where the work came
from.
So
what is, you know, in a very brief synopsis, what is the Requiem about?
It's about the souls and about the people who were actually killed in the First War, and it was about how they are remembered and how they need to be remembered for time immemorial. And I think that's probably the best summation of it. It's the time immemorial memory and the hope of the future, and that we don't make the same mistakes of that war again.
So, Rachel, tell us about the rehearsals. I mean, you went over there sort of, and was it a case of, you know, you're straight into rehearsals once you arrived?
Well, happily, we had a morning to recover from our travels before a full afternoon rehearsal, and more rehearsals the day after, and subsequently just before the performance at Carnegie Hall. I think we had about 10 hours of rehearsal altogether with 250 plus members of other choirs, with the maestro Jonathan Griffith, who was our conductor and vocal trainer for the full experience.
And having the composer himself there, Howard Goodall, how did that enhance or in any way sort of change the way that you approach the performance?
It hugely enhanced it for me, certainly. I think there was a gasp of surprise when it was mentioned partway through the first rehearsal that Howard was there.
Oh, you didn't know he was...
We didn't know originally. We'd been told he would be available for signing our books and things at the end of the session, but somehow I imagined he would swan in briefly and do the signing and off he would go. But no, he was actually there at the back.
So was it a little bit like, I suppose, a writer of a film or a screenplay or even the director, I suppose, telling the actors how he wants it to be performed?
To a degree, the music director was more there to take us through the work and how it should be performed, but at times he would refer to Howard and say, is this what you expect from, you know, what I'm telling the choir to do? And he would say yes, or he would say, well, I want a bit more of this kind of feeling two apart, but he actually came to the front and gave us quite a long talk about his feelings about the whole piece and about it being a requiem for the living rather than the dead, which most requiems have been all about praying for the souls of the dead rather than the hopefulness for those that are left behind.
So that was
behind.
Really something that he wanted to put across through this.
Yes.
And I guess the way that it's performed is quite important to that.
Well, absolutely. When you're a composer, you write the notes and the dynamics for how you want it to be performed.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, absolutely fascinating. I'm keen to hear some more about this, including about Carnegie Hall itself and what it's like and the whole thing about performing. Also, very keen to get more of a flavour of the Requiem itself. We've got another piece coming up in just a moment.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Just coming up to 20 past 10 Saturday morning on Phoenix. Alan Johnson with the Feel Good Saturday, and it's my pleasure this morning to be chatting with three members of Billericay Choral Society who have just come back from an amazing trip performing Howard Goodall's Requiem Eternal Light in the iconic Carnegie Hall. To get a little bit more of a flavour of the work that they performed, going to hear another piece from that now. This is Agnes Dei.
We told this beggar.
beautiful piece of music. That is Agnus Dei from Howard Goodall's Eternal Light, and that was sung there by Alfie Bow with the choir of Christ Church Cathedral in Oxford. Phoenix FM, just gone 25 past 10. Alan Johnson with you with the Feel Good Saturday. And I'm chatting with three members of Billericay Choral Society, David, Gaitha and Rachel, who, along with some people from the Brentwood Choral Society and Ingatston Choral Society, recently had the amazing opportunity to perform in Carnegie Hall in New York. Howard Goodall's Eternal Light, Howard Goodall's Requiem, from which we heard a piece just before the break there. Interested to find out a little bit about Carnegie Hall itself, Gaitha, and just, you know, the whole experience. I mean, is it America's Royal Albert Hall, basically?
I think it probably is. It's the most beautiful building. At one point in the 1950s, it was going to be knocked down, but fortunately it was saved from redevelopment, and it's now the most... It's supposed to have the best acoustics of any concert hall in the world. I'm not entirely sure whether that's just a little bit of hype. But when we first walked out on stage, it was absolutely breathtaking. It's a huge, ornate building, and you can look round at... It's like more like a theatre, possibly, than a concert hall to look into. And it seats around about 2,000, so it's absolutely huge. We rehearsed in the afternoon. We had to stand through all our rehearsals, and then we had to go and leave the building while another choir performed the first half of the concert, and we then had to line up ready to go on stage. Unfortunately, we were held in a very long queue because a lady in the first choir fainted, and they had to get the ambulance and the fire department in to remove her from the stage. So a lot of my memories of the Carnegie Hall backstage are standing halfway up the stairs waiting to be called for about 30 minutes. But it was absolutely glorious, and we really enjoyed singing.
Had any of you been to Carnegie Hall before?
No, not at all. I don't believe so. Had you
David?
Been,
no,
David?
Not at all. First time in New York.
So, oh, right, okay. So not only your first time visiting the hall itself, but actually to be performing as well. What are your particular memories, Rachel? What is there one thing that you will sort of, you know, take away with you, or you have taken away, that, you know, is going to leave a lasting impression with you?
Very hard to pick just one thing, but definitely walking out onto the stage for the rehearsal with the orchestra and seeing all the beautiful red seats empty, and the anticipation of thinking the next time we were there it was going to be full of people anticipating. The orchestra, fabulous. The size of the stage is 43 feet deep, which is a massive stage, and we were 9 rows deep as performers on a stepped stage.
I guess it has to be. I mean, a lot of orchestras can be very large, and obviously you've got grand pianos. You were telling me something off air about that, actually, some of the practical things that you don't necessarily think about.
Absolutely. We had to congregate in 3 large orchestra rooms before being led onto the stage down the various stairs, as Gaitha said, and some of it was quite a climb, so I decided on my second visit up I wouldn't take the stairs. I would queue with those with mobility issues and take the lift. Imagine my surprise when the lift was about the size of your studio, Alan.
It's quite a big studio.
I realised that it was designed for the orchestra to be able to take their instruments, even a grand piano, to the stage. So that will be a memory that will stick with me.
So it's the little sort of behind the scenes things like that that are quite special as well, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yes, yes.
David, what about you? Is anything that particularly struck you? Was it just the whole experience?
I think, like all these things, it's always the whole experience. But I think at the end, when you actually sort of come off stage, and you realise that the audience itself is so appreciative of what you've actually sung, that's what takes the memory for us. You know, you've actually performed and they've enjoyed it. And as Howard Goodall says, it's about the performing and actually getting the message across of what the work's about, to actually say how the audience then react to what you've actually performed for them.
And I imagine it's because of the nature of the work itself, it must be a very emotional thing, quite apart from the emotion of the experience of Carnegie Hall and Howard Goodall being there, but actually the work itself, that must have been a very emotional experience.
Oh, it was very difficult, and some of the words are very difficult to sing, particularly for the men. You know, I can still, you can tell now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's It's very poignant, actually, how you perform that.
Well, it just shows you how powerful it is, and that, you know, that Goodall really was, you know, what an amazing tribute to him that it has that effect. Gaither, what about the performance itself? You had an audience in, obviously. I mean, you're there looking out at this sea of faces.
It was quite stunning. Clearly the audience appreciated. We had a long ovation at the end, and we've had a fantastic review, which I think Rachel's got in front of her from the New York Concert Review. I can't actually read it from this distance. So obviously it was very much appreciated. But I think it is because it's such a moving piece. The In Flanders Field, which is cut and juxtaposed with the Dies Irae, which is a traditional day of anger in a traditional requiem, is mixed up with In Flanders Fields, which I think many people will know as the poem that led to the use of the poppy as a symbol of remembrance. It's In Flanders Field, the poppies either blow or grow, and I think there's some dispute about which the original words were, but I think blow is the word that's used now, and talking about the bodies and the crosses lying row on row, which is a very, very moving image. And the two together, it's the most amazing piece of music, which is worth listening to for anyone who hasn't heard it. Probably not for a Saturday morning, because it's probably too emotional. But I'll hand you over to Rachel.
And just about the work itself, because it's fairly recent, isn't it, that Howard Goodall wrote it?
Yes, it was written in 2000, well, finished in 2008, and the performance that you've just heard was produced in May 2008. The very first performance was on the 11th of November 2008, which was obviously 90 years after the armistice at the end of the First World War. And I think, as Howard Goodall said, that's the point at which the First World War moved from living memory, because there were still a few First World War veterans still alive, to history. It was actually originally conceived, part of it, as a dance piece, along with, and it was performed with the Ballet Rambert. And there's two extremely fast pieces of music, which we had a lot of difficulty getting our way around the tongue-twisting Latin words at huge speed, which were danced to. So actually quite an interesting concept, the whole movement. But I think it's now mainly performed as a choral work.
Right. And Rachel, just give us something from that review.
Well, nicely, the New York reviewer said, the chorus did good work, handling some of the rapid-fire settings of Latin with good diction and balance. Well, we certainly worked on that. This was one of those occasions when the sum of the parts exceeded the whole. It happens sometimes, he says. And he said, we ended the night on a high note. He said, thank you, Mr. Goodall, for getting it right. It was one of the more moving things I have heard in some time.
Wow. Well, amazing, absolute tribute to you as part of that whole thing. Look, time is getting the better of us. I just want to hear just very briefly something about the society. You're all members of Billericay Choral Society, but you're very friendly with the other local choral groups as well, as we were talking about the Brentwood Choirs Festival when you come together each year. Who wants to tell us just a little bit? Gaither?
Yes, Billericay Choral Society was founded over 40 years ago. We're a mixed choir and we sing mainly choral works. We meet at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday at the Mayflower Hall in Chapel Street, Billericay, during term time. We always welcome new singers. There are no auditions, so there's nothing frightening. We are reasonably well off for men for a choral society, but we're always looking for more men, more singers, and probably altos especially, speaking as an alto. We have a website which we can put on the Phoenix website.
Certainly,
for
we can do a link to that.
Our membership secretary's telephone number we can put there as well. Our next concert will be on the 22nd of April, and we'll be singing another requiem, but this will be very different. This will be the Mozart Requiem, which is another beautiful piece of music, as well as the Haydn Nelson Mass. So if you'd like to come and join us, you'll be most welcome.
Excellent. So nothing for Christmas.
Well, actually, because we have just finished with the Brentwood Choirs Festival a couple of weeks ago, and then obviously being in New York, we haven't had time to do a Christmas concert, but we are singing at a local old people's home next a week on Tuesday, and so we've been rehearsing some Christmas pieces, and actually our current choir leader has been making us work hard, so the old folks aren't going to get the same usual jolly set of half-prepared songs. We're actually doing some interesting works for them.
Excellent. And just before you do go, I mean, I've got so many questions I'd love to ask you guys. We could talk all day, but we were talking a few weeks ago on the show about music therapy in music for people with severe autism and all sorts of issues. What do you get out of being a member of a choir? Who was David?
That's right, the two ladies are pointing at me rather fiercely, saying, "Is your answer?" I think you get so much out of a choir, you have to get so much enjoyment, and you tend to sort of forget absolutely everything, and it takes stress away of life, and it actually sort of just makes you content and happy, I think is probably the best way of put it. It's also good for your health as well, I'm told, because you're actually using parts of the lungs which you don't use on walking or any exercises, so you actually sort of you get some health benefits as well. I certainly believe that anyway.
Excellent. Well, I think yes, certainly from a physical and from a mental point of view as well. David, Gaitha and Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Do come in again soon, won't you?
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Phoenix FM.